Morning. It's good to have everybody out that's out this morning. We may be small, fewer in number, but the singing is still outstanding. I just love the acoustics in this building. It helps us all. Wisdom. I think it's something that all of us seek after, and that is wisdom. In general, wisdom is defined as accumulated knowledge combined with the ability to discern a course of action in life. And I want to begin by reading from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 26. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived at that time, declares that the teaching of God provides the wisdom in which you can live securely and you can pillow your head at night without fear. The Apostle Paul in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 23, teaches that Christians have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and adoring word of God. God's word, his wisdom then, is not just any wisdom. It's not just any wisdom, but it is the wisdom which is relevant for all ages and for all times. That's really what Peter was saying. It is described in the Proverbs 3 here as the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold fast to it. The image of God's wisdom here is portrayed as the tree of life, and it gives us a picture of many branches that provide a host of godly blessings. And this morning I want to focus on just one characteristic of God's wisdom that is evident from the very beginning of creation. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And we're just going to read verse 1 and part of verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. I think these two verses teach that the initial creation was formless and void, and darkness covered the surface of the deep, so much so that there was nothing. At the beginning, there was nothing. The environment was totally inhabitable and lacked any sense of order to sustain life. And then in 6 days, 6 short days, God establishes a vitality and an order to this environment, a creation that sustains life in harmony with his purpose. And this is a reality that has been consistent throughout all ages of human beings. Proverbs 11, verses 9 through 11 declare, "With his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. but by the mouth of the wicked it is torn down. Solomon, I think, here clearly distinguishes how the wisdom of God brings an order to life that is joyful, while the godless, the wicked in the creation, produce destruction and ruin. And I think this truth is further illustrated in Proverbs chapter 12, where Solomon contrasts the upright and the wicked. So let's just read a few verses to capture the sense of order to life that the upright enjoy versus that which the wicked bring to the world. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 declares that the thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Righteous people whose perspective is rooted in godly wisdom do right, and they exhibit a just behavior. On the other hand, wicked people are deceitful. Deceit, I think, breed distrust and disharmony. Whereas the righteous, bring to us wholesome, righteous living. Look at verse 10. A righteous man has regard for the life of his animal, but even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. The kindness of the righteous is evident down to how they treat their animals. But the cruelty is the best that can be said for the compassion of the wicked. Can you imagine that? If the wicked are cruel to their own animals, we can imagine how the wicked will treat their fellow man when they treat him with deceit and when they treat him with cruelty. One more. Let's look at verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The words of the wise, those who live according to God's instructions, pursue what brings healing to people. But those who speak rashly, they do so with such vigor that it is compared to sword thrusts. The entire teaching of chapter 12, I believe, contrasts the order of life that righteous bring as opposed to the turmoil that is produced in the world. There is no doubt, I think, that God's wisdom brings the qualities of dignity, respect, harmony, and peace to a society, while those who live without the wisdom of God to guide them leads to disorder, dissension, and turmoil. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I think this, if there's any verse that just confirms what the righteous bring as opposed to what the wicked bring. Let's begin and let's read from verses 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The beauty, my friends, of the wisdom of God is that it embraces every aspect of our lives, and it produces order and harmony to who we are and how we live. And it began at the beginning when God created order out of chaos, when God established an earth that was habitable for human beings in perfect harmony with his purpose. The principles taught in these verses, I think, can be applied in many aspects of our life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to look at a few examples. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read verses 29 through 32. Is it Ephesians chapter 6? No. Maybe it's Ephesians chapter 5 through 9. Excuse me. 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 9. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And I think this is one of those verses that Bill was talking about this morning. We can get principles out of a verse like this, even though it has something to do about slaves and masters in that culture in which these folks live. But we can get principles taught in these verses, which can be applied, I think, to the workplace in our society today. When both the employee and the employer render service as described in these verses, an order is established that makes the work environment a pleasant place to go off and to work every day. But when these principles are not practiced in the workplace, what kind of workplace do we have? We know it's the kind of workplace that is not pleasant to work in. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read verses 4 through 9. No, 29, now I'm getting into 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now tell me, what type of person would you prefer to interact with when you read these verses? I think it seems so obvious to me that it's almost ludicrous to ask that question. We would prefer someone who has wholesome words that come out of their mouth, who benefit or edify us, as opposed to someone who is slanderous or who has words coming out of their mouths that are bitter. We know that. We know that. And what kind of God do we have? He is the God who wants us to practice this kind of wisdom, to have wholesome words coming out of our mouths, to be tender-hearted, forgiving each other. That's the kind of God that we worship. That's the kind of wisdom that God's wisdom can produce amongst us and when we're out in the world today. And that's the kind that brings order and peace to the world. Now, marriage, that's an institution of two people that is the most intimate of all. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read Ephesians 4, 22 through 34, or 1 Peter 3, 1 through 8. I think most of us understand and are aware of God's teaching in regard to marriage. The point is, however, that harmony and order is the desire of God in a relationship that binds two people together for life. That's what God wants. He has been consistent from the beginning that his wisdom brings order, harmony, and peace to whatever relationship that we are in as Christians. That's what he wants. And he wants us to acquire that wisdom and to practice these qualities and these characteristics in our lives. That's the God who we worship. There is no doubt today that we are living in turbulent times. Primarily, I believe it's because we have leaders, neighbors, and even those in our own family who lean on their own understanding and scoff at the Word of God. Christians, however, not only seek the wisdom of God that brings order and harmony to their lives, but there is a hope that produces joy for His people when we live like He wants us to live. Proverbs 10:25 teaches that when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. And in verse 28, Proverbs 10 teaches us that the hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. Brethren, as mankind moves further and further away from God's wisdom, we are reaping what we sow. Galatians 6:8 plainly states that one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And when you look around the world today, does that not seem what is happening? When people move further and further and further away from God's instructions, from what He wants in our lives, from the kind of wisdom that brings peace and harmony and order, when they move away from that, what do we have? Corruption, arguing, bitterness. And it's so evident when we just stand back and take a look at it. But those who live by God's wisdom, we have a life that is founded on teaching that provides order and with a hope that allows us to sustain ourselves regardless of what societies here and abroad are doing. That's what God's wisdom brings to all of us. The confidence that we have in the environment as God's children is that the whirlwind will pass. Now, we don't know when, but we have the assurance of God that the whirlwind will end. It will pass. That's the assurance that we have from God. So let us put our lives in the wisdom of God. Let us put it in hands, God, in the hands of God. And let's listen to His wisdom. One of the primary characteristics is that He wants to bring order to life. And He wants to bring order in such a way that it sustains the vitality of who we are as His creation. That's what He wants. And that's what we can have. In spite of what goes on around us, we can have it. At our workplace, at our marriages, in the church, with our neighbors, and with our friends. If we just practice God's wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. I want to conclude by reading the first 11 verses of Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And listen as we read the very first 8 verses. Of this, the first 11 verses. Does not wisdom call and understanding fill up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence. And O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, For I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and the wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. What is Solomon saying as he writes these words? He's saying the allurements of the world, that's not what you need to be pursuing. That's not the wisdom that we need to be concerned with. But let's pursue the wisdom of God. Let's pursue His righteousness. Let's pursue and practice His principles in such a way that we have order and harmony, vitality of life that He intends for all of us to have. And He intended it from the very beginning when He created this world and this universe in such a way that it stands on its own. What kind of attitude are you going to have? That word attitude is an interesting word. It's a nautical word. It comes from the days when they sailed in wooden ships across the ocean. And the captain would say to the first mate, "What is our attitude?" And the first mate would take a sextant and he would look at the stars. And they knew from the stars if they were on the right course. Why was that so? Because the stars are fixed. They don't change. So the question is, what is your attitude today with respect to the wisdom of God? Is it fixed on those characteristics, those qualities that God says will bring order, harmony, and peace to your life? That's the attitude that we need to have. And those qualities are fixed. That teaching does not change. From the very beginning, God has been consistent in what He wants for us. And He wants harmony. And He wants peace. And He wants us to shut out and not practice what the world wants us to do. He wants us to just put that aside. And we can live in a world as long as we practice what God wants. And we can have the harmony and the peace that all of us desire. But it's solid only if we follow and practice the principles of godly wisdom. If you're here this morning and you've not begun a life that will provide for you a way of living that brings peace and brings harmony, then we would urge you to start that this very day. Be baptized. Repent of your sins. Confess your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be baptized. And when you come up, you can start a new life. You can have what God promises. You can have it. But if you've been living and you just really haven't had it, and you need the prayers or the help of this congregation or anyone in this congregation individually, just let it be known. Because we stand ready to help. All of us are seeking the same thing. We're seeking order and harmony and peace and gentleness. That's what we're seeking. And we'll get a taste when we do that of what heaven is going to be like. We'll get that brief taste. And we will live lives that are filled with joy because the wisdom of God produces joy. If you're here and subject in any way, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.